revolution is brewing in small.
Sensitive artist. Nobody understands me because I am so deep. In my work, I make allusions to books that nobody else has read, music that nobody else has heard, and art that nobody else has seen. I can't help it because I am so much more intelligent and well-rounded than everyone who surrounds me. I stopped watching TV when I was 6 months old because it was so boring and stupid, and started reading books and going to recitals and art galleries. I don't go to recitals anymore because my hearing is too sensitive. And I don't go to art galleries anymore because there are people there and I can't deal with people because they don't understand me. I stay home reading books that are beneath me and working on my work, which no one understands. I am sensitive. I am sensitive.
And indeed, you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, Freak Radio, 101 FM, freakradio.org. This is Pop Defect Radio. My name is Skidmark Bob. And
now for something completely different.
Here's another song I didn't get permission to play.
Television programs, they have all the incorrect political opinions, they don't know the words to any New Kids on the Block songs, and they don't even own a decent pair of walking shoes. Who are they to tell me how to run my life? Who the fuck are they? Nobody's gonna come over here from over there and expect me to adopt their social behavior. I'm not learning their dances, I'm not eating their food, I'm not gonna smell like them, no fucking way! No, not the birds. I'm not talking about the birds. Listen, do you think it's a coincidence that that same morning I woke up from that dream about the international banking conspiracy and the space aliens that fed me pancakes with no syrup or butter, that same morning Tom Brokaw went into a Denny's restaurant, poured ketchup on his penis, and ran around screaming, "Who wants a real Grand Slam breakfast?" And it never made the papers. It never made the TV news. It never even made it to Hollywood. Don't be naive. They're all in on it. They're all in on it together. They're out to fuck me. They're out to fuck you. They're out to fuck anyone who gets in their way. And don't try to tell me about trilaterals, multinationals, multiple Oswald theories, multiple orgasms, the Blue Jays, the Oreos, the Cardinals, the Pope, the Bishop, the CIA, the family, the Book of the Law, page 31 of Macbeth, Shirley MacLaine, Edgar Casey, Casey Jones, Casey Stengel, Casey and the Sunshine Band, K-Sara Sara, because that doesn't work. It all adds up. I saw a vision last night. I heard a voice, and I'm here to tell you once and for all, because I'm fully convinced. It's seamless. It's perfect. It's absolute limitless light. I've been there and back, but I have to go now. I need a bath. My body is burning. I have to go soak my head. That's really not necessary, but thanks anyway.
Freak Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. Sounds like we...
And you know, there's something brewing here. There really is. And
welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news relating to the intersection of media and democracy. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Kimberly Cronick.
They are not well known for being backers of community media projects, but cable companies represent an important resource for activists looking for greater access to the media. Key to using your local cable system as an incubator for community media is the franchise agreement. Cable companies, by law, must negotiate franchise agreements with local governments in order to build and maintain their networks, which run through public rights of way. Sue Buskey, a consultant who works with local governments to maximize their franchise agreements, says these deals may sound complicated, but they're actually pretty straightforward.
It's essentially a very sophisticated lease agreement. Your property is being used by the cable company Some compensation has to come back to the community for the use of that property. They are really negotiating what the rent will be for the cable company to use your property.
Local governments may collect up to 5% of a local cable system's net revenue through a franchise agreement. Many times this money goes to finance what are called PEG channels. PEG stands for Public, Educational, and Government. These are local channels that cover city meetings, school district events, and allow public access to the cable network. But Buskey says such channels are typically underutilized unless they're supported by production infrastructure like a community media center. And smart communities will negotiate for support of such a center as part of their franchise agreements.
That means studios, multi-camera environments, editing systems, the training to use the tools of the media.
Franchise agreements typically cover 10 to 15-year terms, and the renewal process can typically take up to 3 years. Often during franchise renewals, cable companies will plead poverty in hopes of reducing its payment to a local community. But Buskey says people should be very suspicious of such claims.
Just between 2002 and 2004, if you average out what nationally, the average revenue per subscriber has gone up just about 17%. In the last 10 years, it's gone up over 105%. Between 84 and 94, it went up almost another 100%. So as you can see, the revenue that a cable company collects from having the right to use the streets and right-of-way in your community is very substantial.
Cable companies also claim that including funding in a franchise agreement for PEG channels equates to a tax on subscribers, which in turn leads to higher cable bills. But James Horwood, an attorney who specializes in franchise agreements, calls that a fallacy.
If you look at communities side by side, one having PEG obligations, the other not having PEG obligations, the total bill is not any different.
So, how can the average citizen affect the contents and quality of their local cable franchise agreement? Experienced activists recommend developing a relationship with those in local government who are responsible for cable system issues. Many communities also have citizen advisory boards, which provide public input on franchise negotiations. It's also important to pay close attention to the renewal process from beginning to end. Wally Bowen, founder of the Asheville, North Carolina-based Mountain Area Information Network, says expanding community access to cable systems requires an element of political aptitude. Speaking from experience, Bowen says activists need to choose their words carefully and not be afraid to seek out atypical alliances.
We tried the traditional approach of, citizen access to the media, local voices, free speech and all that. Didn't get much traction. Later, 2 or 3 years later, when a county franchise came up for renewal, we switched our tactics and started talking about economic and workforce development, moving to a digital economy, young people getting training in this new media, and we got the Chamber of Commerce to back public access TV.
Unfortunately, cable and phone companies are working hard to restrict the ability of local governments to negotiate franchise agreements that include things like funding for community media centers. Most recently, phone companies, including SBC and Verizon, just launched a lobbying offensive in Washington, D.C. that would mandate a national standard for franchise agreements, and this push has tentative support from the cable industry. Such a move would most likely result in a loss of funding for public, educational, and government cable channels. That's why activists like Buskey, Horwood, and Bowen stressed the importance of mobilizing now at the local level to negotiate the most favorable franchise agreements while communities still have the power to do so. You've been listening to Media Minutes, a joint production of the Illinois Initiative for Media Policy Research at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization dedicated to media democracy. For more information, visit our website at freepress.net.
Well, what about nail clippers? Can I get nail clippers in under that knife?
You're going to have to ask Donald Rumsfeld. But anyway, second story from Reuters. Apple Computer has agreed to extend warranties and issue credits to consumers who had battery problems with older versions of the iPod digital music player under a proposed class action settlement, a plaintiff's lawyer said on Thursday. Consumers entitled to make a claim include anyone whose iPod played 50% or less than advertised, or whose batteries failed over time, Gibbs said, adding that the claimants who sue because their iPods only play crap are not eligible for reimbursement. Unfortunately.
I want to be reimbursed for people whose other people whose iPods play crap.
How do you hear them, though?
Well, you know, in their car, when they're listening on loud headphones.
It's like trickle-down crap economics is how it works. Everybody gets the results of their crap listening, which is their behavior.
And next up, Patrick Moore's weekly World Whalen Word of the Week. Going looking for it now. It's a PDF, so it'll take a little while to open up. I am a sensitive artist. Oh, yes, I'm a sensitive artist. Who remembers Pickwick? The Pickwick label was used from 1975 until 1982. Pickwick exclusively dealt in reissues, and they used this label on their releases of Waylon's Camden LPs. When Decca was folded into MCA Records in 1972, new pressings were on the MCA Choral label with the same Vocalion catalog number, but with the cover still bearing Vocalion markings. Not until 1980 was this corrected with new pressings on the standard MCA label with the newly assigned catalog number MCA-737. However, this version would be short-lived, as it would be deleted shortly afterwards. Meanwhile, in the UK, MCA released the early years, MCA Choral UK CDL-8501, not to be confused with the later RCA compilation, which not only brought together the entire JD's album, but also Waylon's first single for Brunswick. The liner notes were written by Stuart Coleman, with assistance from Mick Brady, head of the Waylon Jennings Appreciation Society, a European-based fan club and editor of a fanzine called Waylon News. In 1981, EMI licensed the record from MCA and reissued it on their Music for Pleasure budget label under the title Don't Think Twice, It's All Right, with new cover art. It is in the mid-1980s that the bootleg versions of this album started to appear. Surprisingly, there were no CD issues during this time. In 1994, that changed. Drive Archive, a small label, released, thanks to Buddy, the first CD issue of the JD's album in the U.S., albeit an unauthorized one. Since bootleggers seldom have access to proper master tapes, the CD sounds worse than most vinyl pressings. The German Bear Family label came to the rescue in 1995. Through its Zuzaz label, they issued Clovis to Phoenix, which contained not only the whole JD's album in proper sequence, but also for the first time, the Complete Trend and Ramco singles, as well as the Joel Blahn When Sin Stops single. In typical Bear Family fashion, they included a previously unreleased version of When Sin Stops from the Clovis sessions and included a full-color CD booklet with detailed liner notes. To date, this is the only authorized CD issue of the JD's album, aside from the Destiny's Child box. The best way to tell if you're getting a legitimate CD is this. Many reputable labels will put licensing info where it can readily be seen. In this case, a licensing credit to MCA Records, or more recently, Universal Music, will be given. If any other credit is given, beware. With that said, there are labels that do take care and present material properly. Bear Family is one such example. One giveaway is using a recent photo of Waylon on the cover. However, this is not always the case. Waylon himself authorized the reissue of four of his early 70s RCA albums with new artwork. Unusually low prices are another giveaway. Most labels will charge a decent price for a well-made product. If you pay an unusually low price for a new item, then in all probability it's not legit. Surprisingly, such mass retailers as Walmart sell many of these illegitimate CDs. I should say that again. Surprisingly, such mass retailers as Walmart sell many of these illegitimate CDs. Some have Willie Nelson's early 1960s Pamper demos included, but using a photo of the two in concert together, giving the impression this is a duet album to a casual buyer. So that was The Weekly World of Waylon. Thank you, Patrick Moore.
Bad Cop, No Donut for the week of June 9th, 2005. A police officer in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, pleaded no contest to charges that he let a woman found with drugs go free in exchange for sex. WISN reports that Officer Nicholas Ince was accused of letting a woman who he found in possession of heroin last March go free in exchange for sex in the officer's patrol car. He was charged with misconduct in office and acting with excess authority. Ince will be sentenced in July and is facing a possible 3.5 years behind bars.
Is this thing on?
Okay, here's Journal Poem 21. I wrote this in the early 90s. Ram Dass and Denny's Dishwashers driving to Santa Fe. Hindi Hostel, Dine, Ogon, Dayglo Daisies on a bus. Hootenanny Green, hibernating a hurt shoulder. Pick up Hitchers, Duck and Elizabeth, Santa Fe to Boulder. A Cochiti drum, shucking corn all day. Fry bread and honey, a dessert of pottery. Shards of Southwest, directory assistance, gas, grapefruit and pomegranate in Hotavilla, Arizona. Red clay on a black mesa face. This particular medicine man is a blind woman. She's quite hard of hearing, too, and very aged. Canyons make great amphitheaters. FM drops right out, though. Wonder, is my guitar the only music this canyon has heard in centuries? Mutton, noodles, and potatoes, and broth, and blue corn fry bread with coffee. Out of honey, almost the breakfast of champion sheep herders. Made of SE number 6 virgin vinyl. What in the universe? Five-piece MIDI band, one can. Brushes, another synth sax. Viola, cello, and flute are really virtually there. These guys wear black and white, sitting behind sheet music. First number's an instrumental. Wainwright's dead skunk in the middle of the road. What? Go figure. So Mecca absconds all of Medina's funny-looking grapefruits. Note on fridge. Ate them all. So green. Delish.
Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. When the several armed forces of the United States military recruit new members, they often advertise military life to be a great adventure. The recruiters talk of schooling and travel and excitement. Sometimes that's not the case. Frank Pacino, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Radio Curious. And before we close, can you tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately?
An interesting book that I read, well, there's quite a few, but I would say it'd probably have to be actually one of the books that you have on your shelf over here. It's Bush at War by Bob Woodward. That's one of probably the last real book I read, and that was when I was deployed in Iraq.
Frank Pacino, thanks for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you, Mr. Vogel.
Sergeant Frank Pacino is about to complete his 4-year enlistment in the United States Marine Corps. The book that he recommends is Bush at War by Bob Woodward. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. They're also available in CD format for $10 each. At Radio Curious, we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California, 95482. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org. You've been listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for joining us.
Send us audio feedback. No, don't Skype me. Call 860-887-2600, extension 5293, and leave it there. We'll go right to Wave and get it up there ASAP. I'd like to suddenly give a random shout-out to the peeps at odeo.com. That's www.odeo.com. And also greets to Tish from HIMC. Jay Allen Sanford, Soccer Girl, Anonymous Coward, Rampart Radio, Bad Cop No Donut, and who else? Yeah, other peeps. If I forget your name, you know who you are. There, that's that. Making the World Safer Podcasts. Hey, 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 it's ATI. Revolution is brewing in small batches. You ready for this? Draft beer, not young people. FSCK, the corporate media. News you can use every Tuesday for when they abuse and try to put the screws to use. Files Cis Check the Corporate Media is a presentation of ATI Zine along with Prime Anarchist Productions. This podcast will be broadcast on a webcast with a once-a-week deadline, and our goal will always be to keep it under 39 minutes so you can put two shows on a disc and hand it to someone who doesn't have internet. If we go long, please edit us from the bottom up. Don't hate the media. FSCK, the corporate media. The revolution is brewing in small batches.